Amen. Now, I don't know just exactly what they had in mind tonight, but I have a few little things I'd like to share with you before you go home. You want me to go ahead or you want to go home? Whichever you want. We'll do whatever you want to do. Some of you may not know this. Maybe you can't tell by the way I talk. But I grew up in the Lone Star State of Texas. And in Texas, there's a very lustrous history of a little place in San Antonio called the Alamos. Anybody ever been to the Alamos? And growing up in the school system in Texas, you're very young when you start reading in the history books about the Battle of the Alamo and how that the Texan soldiers there, who were actually a variety of men who came from all over the United States, how they defeated, didn't defeat, but how they fought off a large group of the soldiers from Mexico. Let me tell you a little bit about this story of the Alamo. February the 23rd, 1923, General Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna and 5,000 Mexican soldiers laid siege around the little chapel that was called the Alamo. It was actually a mission. The Lieutenant William Barrett Travis and about 150 Texans were holed up inside this little mission. It was said, and it is recorded in history, that Lieutenant Travis sent a message out across the wall one night through a man who slipped through the Mexican lines. He sent a message for help, but included in that message he had written the words, "I will never surrender or retreat." They kept thinking that help would come. Help never did come. It is said that during the course of this siege, that one day Lieutenant Travis called all the men together. After a few days, there was a group of about 30 soldiers that was able to penetrate the Mexican army and come into the Alamo, about 30 soldiers from Goliad. But he called all of the men in, and Lieutenant Travis told them his plans. We're outnumbered 5,000 to 180, and our supplies are already low. Won't be long till we'll run out of ammunition, and we'll have no more firepower. Our supplies for food are getting low. But he said, we're never going to surrender, and we're not going to retreat. But he took his sword, and he drew a line across the ground in the sand of the courtyard there in the Alamo. And he said, any man that wants to go, just take your liberty. You may leave. But he said, every soldier that wants to stay with me and fight the Mexican army, I want you to step across that line. And one by one, those rough men, Davy Crockett was in the group, they began to step across that line. They were just frontiersmen, old rough men, but they were sold out to a cause of liberty. They were ready to fight for freedom for the little state of Texas.
Thank you, Lord.
And the story is told that James Bowie, the designer of what we call later the Bowie Knife, lay sick on a cot, and they had brought his cot out and laid him on the ground. And as those soldiers were stepping across the line, he asked some of the men to pick up his cot and to lay him over on the other side. It's an amazing survivors of the Battle of the Alamo was the wife of one of the officers, her baby, and a young black boy who was a servant. 5,000 Mexican soldiers against 180 men. But the victory is told in the number of fatalities that was suffered by General Santa Anna. 1,600 Mexican soldiers lost their lives. But there's something even more beautiful than that. For it is said that while the siege was being held against the Alamo, nothing coming in and nothing going out, that down at a little place called Washington on the Brazos, General Sam Houston was signing the Texas Declaration of Independence. The soldiers really didn't know what they were fighting for. They didn't understand the cause, but they were willing to give their lives for freedom and for liberty. Praise God. A few days later, they marched to a place called San Jacinto, and the army of Sam Houston, who was the general of the Texas Army. They caught Santa Ana and all of his soldiers in the afternoon siesta, and they marched in and destroyed them, and they sent them back home after they had signed the pact of surrender. They fought the victory with the cry, "Remember the Alamo and remember Goliad." I read in a book, and it goes so well with this, for natural warfare, men will leave home for years, but to fight against principalities and powers, they cannot leave home one night. A week for church prayer meeting. Shivering and foodless, men will lie for nights in bloody, muddy trenches, or lie in a ditch after bailing out of a plane. Our chilled to the spine, hold on to a spar for hours in a freezing ocean, yet find it almost impossible to spend half a night in a warm church praying. This is a very stirring fact, but I want to tell you something. I can get as near to God as my soul desires. Men nor the devil can keep me from Him unless I allow them to. The fact is simply this, and hear me well tonight. I am as spiritual as I want to be. I am as spiritual as I want to be. A Christian visitor visited a temple in the Far East. He saw the elaborate beauty of the temple. He saw the ornate beauty. He saw the jewels and the gold and the silver. And he asked one of the heathen worshipers there, "What is the cost of erecting such a magnificent temple as this?" "The cost," the heathen worshiper replied, "this temple is for our God. And when we are building something for our God, we never count the cost." May that spirit get a hold of us in the United Pentecostal Church. If we are going to reach the world, we must be the United Pentecostal Church. If we are going to evangelize the masses on the East Coast, we must be the United Pentecostal Church. Teach us, good Lord, to serve Thee faithfully, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, save that of knowing that we do Thy will, O Lord our God. Let us dare to ask the question that Gideon asked way back yonder in the Old Testament, when the angel come and called him the mighty man of valor. He said, "If the Lord be with us, if the Lord be with us, then where be all the miracles that our fathers told us of?" I'm asking that question tonight, and I do believe the Lord is with us. I do believe the Lord is with us. Do you believe the Lord is with us? Then let us dare ask the question that Gideon asked. And you don't have to be an agnostic to ask it. You don't have to be a pessimist to ask it. All you have to have is a little burning hunger and a little burning desire down on the inside of your heart to say, "If the Lord be with us, where are all the miracles that our fathers told us of?" My God, help us to remember Gideon and the question that he asked. Gideon was the author of a great victory. God worked through him. We like to talk about the torch. We like to talk about the broken lamps. We like to preach about the trumpets that blasted out in the morning, early morning hours. Joe, we like to preach about how 300 men put thousands to flight. But what we fail to preach about is that before there was ever a victory, late one night Gideon had to crawl out of bed and tear down the altars of idol gods. He did it in the midst of the night because he was fearful for his soul. Let us understand that he didn't just tear down the idols' altars, but he built altars to Jehovah God. My God, I get the feeling there are some idols in our churches. There are some altars in our churches that need to be destroyed. And we need to construct altars of sacrifice and old-fashioned dedication and old-fashioned consecration to the God of this universe. Let's clap our hands to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Forgive me for saying it, if it's not right to say it, but I've sat on this platform and I've watched most of you worship God tonight, but I've seen a few faces that are blah, I've seen a few hands that have never been brought together. They've never gone up in praise to God. Do we think that real revival is going to come without a sacrifice? Do we think that just because we are who we are, that God is not a God that still deserves praise and worship and honor and glory? Let me understand all over again tonight that I am what I am, only by the grace of God. You talk about 60-something getting the Holy Ghost at a singing. We were there for 4 days of services. Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, our youth group split up into 4 groups. And we went 4 different ways. We preached in buildings that were so hot. I thought I would fall out from exhaustion for preaching 15 or 20 minutes. The sweat poured from our bodies until our clothes could have been wrung out after we were through preaching. But those people seemed not to notice. They were so in love. They were so infatuated by the God that had called them into this glorious, marvelous truth. But listen, in 4 days, in four nights, in 1 day of service, we recorded 332 people filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. My wife can tell you, Brother Rutledge, we stood on the platform. They don't have room for altars. They just have to push back chairs. When it's time for altar service, they just push back the front pews and all the chairs that are there. They push them back, and the pastor gets up, and he says, does anybody want the Holy Ghost tonight? And they'll come down those aisles, big tears running down their faces, their hands up in the air. And they set them all down in chairs. They'll bring in folding chairs like this and line them up. And they all sit down. And the pastor starts talking to them in their Filipino language. He tells them about repentance. He tells them about baptism in the name of Jesus. He talks to them about how to receive the Holy Ghost. It seems that he's killed the service. But suddenly, he said, if you want the Holy Ghost, let's seek God. We watched as those little brown hands went up. And every eye was filled with tears. I'm not talking about some shallow experience. I'm talking about a move of God that I've never seen equal here in the United States of America. I'm talking about people who have absolutely nothing, but they found everything when they found Jesus Christ. No wonder they're having a revival in that land. They had nothing to keep them at home. They had nothing to keep them out in the world. There's nothing exciting over there. Going to church is the most exciting thing in their life. They filed through those doors with big smiles on their faces. They won their musicians at a nightclub. Brother Gallimet went to a nightclub, a pizza place, for 4 nights. He said, I eat pizza until I am full. From 9 o'clock until 1 o'clock for 4 nights. I eat pizza until I am full of pizza. But he said, I needed some musicians for my church. Over here we get down. Here we don't have musicians. And we pray. And we put a little pamphlet in the Herald and said, please, if there's a good organ player that would like to work in a home mission church, Brother Gallimet said, I needed musicians for my new church. So he went and found him some musicians. But he said, after 4 nights, when they were taking down their instruments, Brother Gallimet said, I went to them and I said, you have played for the devil long enough. Follow me and you can play for Jesus now. Hallelujah. Their music is a little wild. It probably drives a lot of people home over here. Their PAs are so loud. There's very few of us can take it. I have a lot of saints that probably quit church over it. They wouldn't want to come back. They may not have a piano. They may not have an organ. But they will have a PA system. And they will have it on number 9. Bless your heart. I said they will have it on 9 or 10. It'll get higher as the service progresses. It don't bother them. They're in love with Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. You talk about shouting. You talk about dancing. You talk about getting excited.
when 335 of those Filipinos got up on that platform and got to jigging like Hump does. Brother, I want you to know something. You talk about dancing in the spirit until you couldn't dance. I think I knew how David felt, and they were singing that song, when the spirit of the Lord moves in my soul, I would dance like David danced.
Hallelujah.
And they do it. They don't just sing about it. Hallelujah. But prosperity's killed us. We have said it. We fed at the master's table for so long until we sit back with our big bellies in the spirit. And our jaws feel like chipmunks. We've heard enough good sermons to get to heaven and back. And still we have to be reminded. And we have to be reminded.
Right.
And we have to be reminded over and over and over. God, help us to realize the times demand our best. The times demand our best. If we're living in the last day, let's act like we're living in the last day. If we believe Jesus is fixing to come back, let's act like we believe that Jesus is fixing to come back. Sacrifice and in dedication, and in every part of our lives, we've got to give Him our best.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Let's love the Lord, shall we?
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. And I've kept the faith. Hallelujah. I've fought a good fight. Everybody say, I've fought a good fight. Micah said, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. Seems to be a certain stigma that we pin on everybody that falls. We put a little red tag on their forehead that says, warning. He backslid. He messed up. Micah said, don't rejoice, oh mine enemy, when I fall. Because when I fall, I'm going to get up. Going to get up. Hallelujah. Going to get up. For a just man falleth 7 times, Solomon said. But you know what he does? He rises up again. Paul said, we have this treasure in jars of clay. I'm reading from another translation to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Listen to what he said. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. You may knock me down, but I will get up. 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 Hallelujah. The word fought there from the original Greek means to struggle or to compete for a prize. We're in a boxing match with the devil, and he may knock me down in round one and in round two and in 3 and 4 and 5 and 6. But when round 15 gets here, I'm still going to be the winner. Hallelujah. I've been knocked down a few times, but I'm not destroyed. I'm going to get up. Let me ask you the question the song asks. Must I be carried to the skies on fiery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? My good brother and sister, if you think for one fleeting moment that what we've got hold of is just some easy believism, you need to reread. I said reread the Word of God. You hadn't read about Noah. You hadn't read about Abraham. You hadn't read about Jacob. You hadn't read about Joseph. You hadn't read about Daniel or the three children. If you think this is some little red wagon that your pastor's pulling along and everybody hop in and I'm going to pull you right on through to heaven, you need to go and read about a man who took his boy, his only boy, up to the top of a mountain, because the Lord said, offer him as a burnt offering. Offer him as a burnt sacrifice. You need to read about Abraham. And we call it his greatest trial. And we talk about how hard it must have been. And we talk about the struggle. Here we go up the mountain. And he's got his boy. And we try to make it look just as pitiful as we can make it. And we talk about how horrible it must have been. Why don't you quit talking about it like that? And start talking about it like Abraham talked about it. He told the servant, "You boys wait here. The lad and I go yonder to worship. Brother Rutledge, this is not some easy believism. I'm telling you, it's time for the church to give its best. I said it's time to give our best. Did you hear me? It's time to give our best. Hallelujah. You need to read about Elijah and all the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weaknesses were made strong, waxed valiant in fight. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others were tortured. Would you say that with me? Others were tortured. Not everybody got the healing. Not everybody got victory. Not everybody came back from off the top of the mountain. Others were tortured, but they said, "We don't want to be delivered." They did not accept deliverance. That tells me they had opportunity to have deliverance, but they didn't want deliverance, but they wanted a better. I said they wanted a better resurrection. Hallelujah. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings and bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were slain with a sword. They wandered in the deserts and in the mountains and in the dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us. And I'm trying to get 10% of my church to come to Saturday night prayer meeting. I'm trying to get somebody to give a little bit more in the offering. And you hear the backwash of the complaining. Is he going to be hounding us for money now? Others had trial of cruel mockings. There were scourgings. There were stonings. There are men who were willing to give their lives for what I'm talking about tonight. And I'm here to tell you, it's time to fight a good fight. Hallelujah. The time's demand our best. I said the time's demand our best. The time's demand our best. Hallelujah. We're trying to get you to worship. We're trying to get you to praise God. I'm preaching about men who lived in the dens of the earth and in the caves of the earth. And we're trying to get you to get excited on Wednesday night Bible study. My God, help us to see he gave some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And he said, "I have finished my course." Are you listening? Not only did I, can I go on a little longer? Is that all right if you don't like it? There's a door on either side. We'll give you 3 seconds to get gone. Praise God. Go ahead and get to McDonald's and get your little Big Mac and pad your little belly and spend your money. That's all right. But those that want to stay, we're going to have a little more church tonight. Hallelujah. Brother, I forgot it. Listen to this. He said, I've fought a good fight, and I've finished my course. Jesus said, if you take hold of this plow, you should not even look back. He also said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. If you start, Jesus said, before a man builds a house, he ought to count the cost. If you don't like what your pastor's preaching, you ought not have got in it. If you don't like what this church stands for, I'm going to tell you something, and please don't ever forget it. The army that Jesus Christ is a captain of is an all-volunteer army. There's nobody here tonight that got drafted. I said nobody here got drafted. We're in it because we want to be in it. Hallelujah! Some of you frowning at me tonight like you don't agree with what I'm saying. That's all right. I'm telling you, Jesus said, it's for whosoever will. It's an all-volunteer army. You got in it because you want to get in it. When you volunteered to go into the service, you don't have a right to gripe about the rules. You don't have a right to gripe about basic training or AIT. Hallelujah! If you didn't want to bow down to a drill sergeant, you ought not to put your John Henry on the line. This is the all-volunteer army. But when you get in it, why don't you make up your mind, I'm going to finish. Woo, hallelujah. I'm going to finish. Hallelujah. Paul compared this great walk with God to a race. The last race I run, about 10 years ago. I do remember this. That the further I ran, the harder it got to run. And the more out of breath I got. I don't know, maybe some of you don't have that problem. Maybe you pick up steam as you go along. Jesus never promised a rose garden. Jesus said, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And a bunch of them went home when he said that. Because this is an all-volunteer army. Oh, hallelujah. I'd be pleased right now if everybody would smile at me just a little. Hallelujah. God's going to give you a second wind if you're willing to stay till you get a renewing of the Holy Ghost. I hope I don't cross any of these pastors' theology tonight, but Titus 3:5 said we are saved, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by the washing of regeneration. Tell me what the rest of it says, pastors, and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's why some of you are so out of breath. That's why it's so hard for you to get out to church on Wednesday night. Woo, hallelujah. You didn't stay, you've got a renewing. Of the Holy Ghost, it's getting quiet. It's getting awful quiet. Maybe we all ought to get baptized again tonight. With the Holy Ghost and with the fire. My God, give us a renewing. Let every man, woman, boy, and girl walk out of here tonight with a renewing of the Holy Ghost. But he said, I have kept the faith. Did you ever notice, brethren, that he didn't say, we'll preach you all a little while. He didn't say, I have fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, and I finished the course. But he said, I fought a good fight, and I finished the course. Thank God, when I got through running, I still had the faith. Because I'm going to tell you, we're not going to know whether or not you keep the faith until you cross the finish line. Hallelujah. But Paul said, when I finally got through running, and he wrote to Timothy and he said, bring a few things. I'm fixing to lose my life. My time of departure is at hand. I see the finish line up there, hallelujah. And thank God in my heart I'm still a preaching. You got to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And you got to have the Holy Ghost. And you got to speak in tongues to get it. Hallelujah. Did Paul believe it? Yes, he did believe it. In Ephesus chapter, in Ephesus in Acts 19, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? We have not even heard whether there be any such thing as the Holy Ghost. How were you baptized under John's baptism? Oh, there's something more for you. To the church at Galatia, he said, if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other message, any other gospel than that what you have received, let him be accursed. And it was so important that he repeated it in the next verse. My God, help us tonight to hold on to this precious faith that's been handed down to us from our forefathers, and help us to guard it and to watch it and to hold fast to it. Jude said, it was needful for me to write unto you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. John said, I have no greater joy. John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my sons are walking in the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Aren't you glad for this truth? So I fought a good fight. I finished and I have kept the faith. Hallelujah. I got to shut up, close up, before everybody goes home on me, or goes to sleep, or something else. I'm gonna throw one more little thought in here, because I feel like it. I don't know if God wants me to say this or if it's just me wanting to say it. So I'll say it. Hope the Lord is pleased with it. Revelation, it's either 16:13 or 13:16. I remember not which for sure. The Bible said there were three unclean spirits like frogs that came out of the mouth of the beast, the false prophet, and the dragon. And it said they are unclean spirits, but they're working miracles. They asked me to write a little article for one of the papers, I guess it's the Conqueror, and I wrote about these frogs. It's not the beast and the false prophet that intrigued me as much as these little slimy green creatures. I got a couple more translations, and lo and behold, John said they looked like frogs. Little hopping amphibians. Cold-blooded, slimy, and pretty good to eat, the hind legs anyway. Had a few tonight, in fact. But you see, there's something funny about these unclean spirits. They're like frogs. A frog is an amphibian. You know what that means? He can live in either one of two environments. He can live in the water. He can live on the land. And you know what? He'll never be far from one of the other. In fact, you never see a frog out in the middle of the pond. Neither do you see a frog in the middle of the field. Maybe an old toad. You better leave him alone till you get warts. But a frog's gonna always be either on the bank or right near the bank. Got any old frog giggers here? Come on, don't be ashamed. I gigged a few. Yeah, that's it. Man, oh man. You see, are you listening to me? I'm on close. If you didn't hear anything, you know what the frog spirit is? It's an amphibious spirit. It says you can live in the church, you can run the aisle, shout the victory, dance and jump, get behind the preacher and pay tithes. And then when you go back to school on Monday morning, you can live in both worlds.
They'll always be close to the church, and they want to keep one foot in the church and one foot in the world. They're within easy hopping distance, you see, of either one. They can get with their buddies at school. They can tell their little nasty jokes. They can get with their little girlfriend in the backseat of some automobile. That's plain, but it's the truth. And sing in the choir and do their little do-what-de-do and shout a little bit and be involved in immorality, fornication, and all kind of crud. But that spirit's going to go. It's not a part of the true church. No. God wants young people who are sold out. Sold out. God wants young people who are ready to fight a good fight, who want to finish the course. It's a funny thing when I go to talking about this sometimes. Young people kind of give me a blank look, but I know exactly where I'm coming from and what I'm talking about. And every pastor sitting on this platform knows that what I'm preaching is the truth right now. God, deliver us of the frog spirit, Brother Rutledge. And give us young people, and don't you forget it, we got them in our midst. They're going to live for God in it. I don't care what it costs, they're going to live for God. They're going to love the truth. They don't want to compromise this message. They don't want to compromise this truth. And they want to be sold out, totally. Jesus' name. Let's say the times demand our best. I tell you what God's doing today, short of line, right smack dab to the center of the church.
Yes, sir.
And I'm telling you tonight, there'll never be a surrender, and there'll never be a retreat. And it's an all-volunteer army. God's looking for a few good men like our Marines are. He's looking for a few good men. He's looking for somebody like the Navy that wants to aim a little higher. He's looking for somebody like the Army that says, I'll be the best that I can be in the Army. The all-volunteer Army. But when you get in, remember it's going to cost you a little something. This is no wagon ride through the pearly gates. This is a time to give our best. I said this is a time to give our best. My God, it's a time to give our best. Our best. Our best. Let's stand and clap our hands to the Lord tonight. Can we do that right now?